The first day of Steelers minicamp was a lively one. We got to talk to players about a couple touchdowns, more than a couple touchdowns, that were caught by some of these young pass catchers and how they're shaping out in the early part of the Steelers 2022 season. I'm Chris Carter here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Joining me is a colleague and a friend of mine, Nick Farabaugh. You know him, you love him if you listen to the Locked On Pit podcast. You also know him, you love him if you see him on Twitter and on SteelersNow.com. Along with me, we'll talk about what we saw, what we're continuing to see, and what we're expecting to see moving forward. But it's an all-offensive episode looking at the players. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. As always, you can find the show on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and YouTube. If you're watching this video on YouTube, hit the like button on the video if you enjoyed. Hit the subscribe button to our YouTube channel to get all of our daily Monday through Friday content, as well as our bonus episodes and our breaking news episodes whenever we have updates to have there. We thank you for making the Locked On Steelers podcast your first listen every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Blue Nile. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com, and Locked On Sports listeners will get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement rings, so use that promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On at checkout. We'll talk more about that later. Joining me today is a friend of mine, Nick Farabaugh. Y'all know him, y'all love him. Now, if you're a Steelers junkie, you see this guy on Twitter all the time, breaking things down, shooting his opinion, telling you what's real about the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you're a Pitt junkie, you better be checking out Locked On Pitt, because he's breaking them down all the time, just like I break down the Steelers right here on Locked On Steelers. Nick, how you doing, man?
Man, I'll tell you what. It's been a long time coming, man. I've been wanting to come on here forever. This is great. I've been doing great today, you know. Was at mini camp earlier, talked to a few guys. It was a great day out there in mini camp. A little wet early on. Didn't enjoy waiting out in the rain while you know, we were trying to check in and everything. And then the gate closed on us. It was a crazy day, but we got where we needed to be, and it ended up being a pretty successful day, man.
It did. It was actually a really exciting day for us because we got to talk to a lot of guys. Matt Canada was talking. That was exciting. Nick, between you, me, and Alan Saunders, the three Pittsburgh Sports Now reporters who were there for SteelersNow.com, we got Matt Canada, Mike Tomlin, Kenny Pickett, Najee Harris, George Pickens, Pat Fryer, Ruth Conner, everybody. We were just talking to all the offense. It was an exciting day. But I want to talk about what we learned from some of the young pass catchers. Now, the rule is we're not allowed to say what we see on the practice field unless someone tells us what happened, as in a player or a coach. But, Nick, in your reporting, you were able to get to both Pickens and Freiermuth, and they talked about some of their touchdown catches on Tuesday on their first day of minicamp. Wednesday, it's going to be interesting to see how the second day goes of minicamp, but there's a sense of excitement with some of the talent, that the pass catching ability from some of these young players on the roster.
Yeah, I think there has to be. I mean, Pat Freiermuth is obviously the one that everyone knows and loves from last year. And he's a guy that didn't get enough red zone production last year, which was weird. And today, the two touchdowns and seven shots that he talked about today, you know, really just doing what he does. Contested catch grabs in the back of the end zone. And really, that's Pat Freiermuth, right? That's his MO. That was his MO back at Penn State. We saw it a little bit last year, not nearly enough, I think. And I think that's something, you know, that he's really expressed his interest in. This says, I want to be a red zone target. Like, that is what he needs to be. This team needs to get that red zone production from someone. And it can't just be Najee Harris the entire time, because it was Najee so much last year. And then every now and then you would have someone else break through. Pat Freiermuth is going to be, I think, that guy that's going to break through. And then you talked about George Pickens. What, a 70-yard touchdown today for Mitch Trubisky on a go route? Like, he said, and I thought this was pretty funny. He said, like, that wasn't even the design. Like, that was a clear out. You know, he was just supposed to open up the offense for other guys on the concept. But he beat his man so bad that he was, I think, I mean, you and I watched it. He was two steps in front of the guy, and it wasn't even close. So he was gone from there. And you know, Frisman Jackson talked today as well, the wide receivers coach, and he said, listen, this guy is a big guy that does things that little guys do. He's super explosive. He's super quick. He's crazy fast. And he's 6'2". And we have a freak athlete here in George Pickens. And I think people need to be really excited about what George Pickens brings to the table. We saw what he did as a freshman at Georgia. Then he got hurt, you know, and towards ACL, comes back, does a great job in the national championship. I think that they got a steal for where they got him in the draft. And I'm really excited. I think what I've seen from him thus far has really only instilled what I saw from him on tape at Georgia and the whole process. I think that they got to be so excited about what they have in George Pickens, man.
And to think about this, and these are two young dudes. We're not even talking about Deontay Johnson, who had over 1,100 receiving yards last year. We're not talking about Chase Claypool, who had, what, like 13 touchdowns just a couple of years ago. We're talking about a second-year tight end and a rookie wide receiver as being guys that could be these dynamic playmaking game changer type of guys on the roster who can add explosive plays, big touchdowns in the red zone, all these different things to an offense that people are discounting and saying, you know, they're going to stink for a while. They don't got Ben Roethlisberger anymore. But Nick, I mean, you and I, like you said, you watched George Pickens tape, you know, when he recovered from his injury in that national championship game, he still had on that knee brace, but he was still had the burners. He has burners with, like you were, like Frisman Jack was, Frisman coach, the wide receivers coach was talking. He was talking about how in short spaces, he can get separation. He can be quick. He can be physical. That's really important. And then even from the guys, we're talking about the top, closer to the top of the depth chart, even lower down the depth chart, Connor Hayward, you talked to him too, and he's making plays out there right now.
2-minute drill today that I thought was actually really interesting. Kenny Pickett's first 2-minute drill, and he was with a bunch of the young guys. And this was like a first time for almost all of them. Connor Hayward said, this was my first time doing this here in the NFL. And he makes a stupid good one-handed grab over the middle of the field that you heard everyone just go, you heard, oh, I mean, that's the type of catch it was. I mean, he legit Moss is a guy and reaches behind him and makes a great catch. I mean, unbelievable grab for Connor Hayward. And I think that, you know, if you had seen this play, say, in the preseason, this would be the type of play that I would tell you, everyone, you're misreading Connor Hayward. You don't, he's not a fullback. That, I mean, he is in some ways, but not completely a fullback. This man is more tight end than fullback, H-back type of role. He's not a Derek Watt type, right? He's a completely different player. His hands and his ability to make catches in contested spaces, which that was a contested one-handed grab.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's his greatest trait. And you saw that if you're a Pitt fan as well, you saw him do that in the Peach Bowl against them. I made a great catch that really turned the tide of the game on its head. It was the go-ahead touchdown, rather, as well. So it was a huge, huge catch. And Connor Hayward made a huge catch today. I thought Kenny Pickett as well made a few nice throws in that drive. Now, Kenny, I think, also acknowledged, like, you know, we didn't get the job done. Now, they got down to, what, the 5-yard line, and they couldn't convert. Mm-hmm. But again, this was a really exciting day. And, you know, we're not even mentioning Calvin Austin in this equation. And I've been really impressed with what I've seen from Calvin Austin as this kind of explosive guy that's going to create more explosive plays. And I think that's kind of what we look at with this young group is that, you know, Pickens and Austin specifically are two burners. The Steelers were one of the worst teams in terms of creating explosive plays last year. Mm-hmm. And I think these two guys are going to be a big reason why, if they say turn that around, I think they're going to be a huge reason why.
And don't forget about your boy. Listen, I'm around Nick all day when we at the facility. Nick is one of the first people that's always pointing out Gunnar Olszewski. Watch out for that dude and the separation that he gets. Nick, I don't want to ask the dumb question that people would ask on like First Take and say, like, what's the limit or how high can the Steelers go with the pass game? Because we don't know. This is a brand new offensive line, brand new offensive line coach, new quarterback situation. Only two receivers are back from last year. You do have Najee Harris and Pat Freiermuth, but there's a lot of new things here. I mean, and it was even talked about, like, you know, with Matt Canada, they weren't able to do all the things they wanted to do. There's new terminology being thrown out there that the Steelers aren't just going to these are new things they're going to have to adjust to. I think that the biggest thing isn't, you know, asking how high can they go. I think it's just the fact that there's a lot of unknowns here with a lot of upside of athletic talent, football skill, and these guys sounding like good, well-minded, strong-headed and with their heads pointed in the right direction, football guys.
Yeah, I actually had, you know, a one-on-one with Calvin Austin today too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just broke down with him a few of his plays and, you know, how he studies tape. And he pointed this out to me. He said, you know, I'm fast. I create explosive plays. So what do? I go through all the entire season's worth of this cornerback that I'm going to go up against and say, what did they get beat on their explosive plays allowed? And I'm going to go through every single tendency and deconstruct that. Like, that is a seasoned vet type of mentality. Yep. You don't see some of these rookies coming in with that like tight of a process. You hear a lot of the times when guys get to the NFL, you know, I had to learn how to watch film. This vet is teaching me how to watch film. Calvin Austin's not going to need to learn how to watch film. That guy has that down to a T in terms of how he does that. And you want to talk about the ceiling with this group. You know, I think that the quarterback is going to be a big factor in that, right? You know, is Mitch Trubisky going to be really good? Is Kenny Pickett going to step up? How does Mason Rudolph factor into all of that? It's going to be how good is the quarterback going to be? But I think the weapons group, I think Pittsburgh is one of the best young group of weapons in the NFL right now. I think that is inarguable when you look at Najee Harris, Freiermuth, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, George Pickens, Calvin Austin. There's so many guys in that room right now, and they're all very talented with a ton of upside, and they all do different things. I think this is also something, you know, they have a lot of different skill sets, so they can beat you in different ways. And as a game planner, you know, for Matt Canada, that's going to be huge. You're going to be able to use different ways to beat different teams. You're going to be able to create matchup-based problems in different ways. You're going to be able to mix and match personnel. I think that's just such a huge flexibility. So the ceiling, I don't know. I don't think they're going to be necessarily one of the best teams in the NFL, but
right. You know, that's a lot to ask.
You know, I just think it is. And, you know, especially with the quarterback questions, I think that's a huge thing. But, you know, the weapons group, I think, has a huge ceiling and I think could really uplift that quarterback play or whatever. It could uplift the entire team really around it because they have such upside in the weapons groups.
Certainly. And one of the biggest weapons that we haven't really talked about is Najee Harris. He spoke at minicamp first time. Really, we've gotten to hear from him not one-on-one, but with the report, the Pittsburgh reporters, you know, since OTA started. I want to talk about what he said because there were some really interesting tidbits that he gave us. And he also addressed the whole weight situation that I talked about with Wes Euler last week. We'll be breaking those down right here on the Locked On Steelers podcast with Nick Farabaugh. But first, we got to talk to you guys about BlueNile.com. Whether you're ready to pop the question or you're celebrating a milestone moment, find jewelry as unique as her with modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Blue Nile has simple online tools that let you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft her perfect engagement ring. Each ring is one of a kind. Looking for fine jewelry but having trouble choosing? Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7 available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com, and Locked On Sports listeners can get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement rings. So use the promo code Locked On. That's LOCKEDON, Locked On, Locked On, all one word. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace by going to BlueNile.com today. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Nick Farabaugh of SteelersNow.com and the Locked On Pitt podcast. Nick, Najee Harris spoke. I was there talking to him, and it was just like last year, Najee Harris. Bright, excitable, funny, relatable, honest. He talks about, like, you know, where he has to improve and things that are going on there. But he took some time to address the weight situation. Now, if you guys aren't familiar with last week's episode I did with Wes Euler, there were some concerns put out by the national media. First, it started with Najee telling the SNR crew of Wes Euler and Arthur Motes, hey, I weigh 244 pounds after playing a guessing game with them. Mark Caboli tweeted that out because he overheard it. And then when it was picked up, it was put at, oh, wow, that's more than 232 pounds that was listed as last year for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then people said, oh, that's more than Jerome Bettis when he came to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And all this conjecture popped off about, is Najee Harris overweight? And as we concluded, if you're saying he's overweight, you ain't seen Najee Harris. You're just spouting off at the mouth. But Najee Harris took time to address this. And he said, listen, I weighed 242 last year. And he said, right now I weigh 244. I'll be back to 242 this year. But Nick, I thought the coolest thing about this was he handled it. He saw it more of as a joke. And he still seems focused on being just this super athlete that he always works out to be. I mean, you remember last year leading into the draft, all Najee, like not anytime you heard something about Najee Harris, it was about his workouts in Texas and what he was doing. And it seems like he's still being that workout animal. He's not satisfied with having the fourth most yards from scrimmage last year or setting a rookie record for the Steelers as far as rushing yards with 1,200 on the ground. What do you look at? What is your perspective on how Najee Harris has set up his sophomore season in the NFL?
I think he set it up incredibly well. I think that there's a few things. First of all, he does look bigger in terms of his muscles. I mean, the pictures of his quads ridiculous. Are very real. He's all just quads and hamstrings. I mean, that's really what he is. He's absolutely massive in his lower body, and I just. When I look at what he could do with that and how quick he is and how explosive mm-hmm. he still is, because let me tell you this right now, the guy hasn't lost a single ounce of quickness. And this is what made him special, in my opinion, is the fact that he is at 242 and he can move like he does laterally. Yeah, that's what's special about Najee Harris. You don't see guys that move like this. Now the long speed, it's probably never going to be there. It's not really Najee's game, and that's okay, right? He's not an explosive creating back in terms of I'm going to rip off 70, 80 yards. He's not Nick Chubb, right? He's not going to be Nick Chubb. Najee is very unique in the way he comes out and I think prepares. We see him every day staying just a little bit afterwards to work. He does specific things to tailor his game to the modern day NFL. I think he set this up super well. And in the press conference as well, you know, I watched that a little bit and I thought it was very impressive in the way he handled himself. I think you kind of put it right on the button right there. He handled that weight questions very, very well. He's not overweight. You know, he is a good 244 right now. Looks great at 244. Looks explosive. Looks quick. I don't think there's any reason he shouldn't take another step forward for his sophomore season. I think he set it up about as well as possible, right? I think you look at him right now and you say, man, Najee Harris could be even better. And that's exactly how he should be setting it up.
And I think also not even just better from a on the field, you know, being a running back standpoint, but from being a leader standpoint, you know, this is a guy, Nick, when you and I watch him, he's always just a joy. Like he's always just like the Energizer Bunny. He's got it going, Geyser. He's always excited, you know, when something's happening and he's always pushing himself. But, you know, he talked about, you know, he wanted to lead by example. You know, for the Pittsburgh Steelers, he talked about, you know, how, you know, when you look at how this year's look shaping up, or even how last year shaped up, he said, he knows when they drafted him, it wasn't for him to just be a guy on the roster. It was for him to be a workhorse, to be a guy that the team kind of revolved around. And he said, and here was one of his quotes that he said, he's like, what I mean, he said, last year, no other offensive rookie was put in the position I was put in. And this is a very strong statement, in my opinion. He said, what I mean by that is no other offensive player had to come in and be the head honcho or the focal point of the team. That's a lot leaned on one person. I took that in and they told me that. I knew it would be a long season with Ben finishing up his career. A lot leaned on my shoulders, but anytime they give me the crown in any kind of way, I'm going to take that and run with it. I did learn as the season wore on, people don't want to tackle later in the season, and that worked out to my advantage. But basically talking about how, like, hey, listen, I knew I was going to be taking a lot of heat and a lot of carries. This guy still never fumbled in 381 regular season touches. That's insane. He took all it on. And yes, Ja'Marr Chase was the offensive rookie of the year for the NFL. He he had more receiving yards and more touchdowns, but scrimmage yards, Najee Harris had that. He had the fourth most in the league, most of any rookie. I guess I look at this and there's a balance of confidence, but also a sense of like hunger here when you're hearing Najee Harris's words talking about not just being a player, but being a leader that he knows there's a lot on him and he's still going to be showing up in ways to push that forward, Nick.
I just love that mentality from him though, right? Like he's going to get the ball 300 plus times, regardless of it. He is, I mean, let's be real here. He's the star of this offense. I think Najee Harris is the star, right? And he is the bread that kind of makes the sandwich, if you will. He is a guy that without him, you take him out of this offense, it doesn't have an identity. Najee Harris is the identity. And I think he really embraces that well. And for a year two guy, right, in such a young offense where you have, as we've talked about, all the young pass catchers around the group, really there's very few veterans amongst this offense. Deontay Johnson is considered a veteran now, but you still have very young players on the offensive line, at quarterback now, at receiver, tight end, everywhere. Even in the running back room, you know, Najee has a few younger guys in there now with Jaylen Warren and Mateo Durant, who are two younger UDFA guys. And I think he's done a fantastic job. You see him being vocal out there. You see him giving guys advice. Even guys that are older than him, you know, Benny Snell and Anthony McFarland came into the league before him. He gives them some advice every time. When you look at the running back drills, he'll pull them aside, try to offer his counsel. I think Najee Harris has done such a fantastic job of when you lose your leader of the offense, essentially, in Big Ben, and then you lose your other leader of the offense in and Trey Turner, and then your other leader in Juju Smith-Schuster, you essentially have this triple hole of leadership vacuum that you just all lost. You lost your leader in the O-line, you lost your leader quarterback, and you lost your leader in receiver room. And Najee Harris has stepped up in that so beautifully. And I think that is a real testament to what he's done and a real testament to his overall mindset as a football player.
I think here's another really good point that he said. He said when the Steelers signed Mitch Trubisky, he flew to meet him in Pittsburgh from training in Texas. He wanted to meet him, wanted to talk to him, wanted to see what kind of a guy he was. And then, of course, he went to work out with him in Florida. I think that says so much about a guy who Najee Harris didn't have to do that. He could have stayed right where he was. He's a second year player. He's like, you know, it'd be different if it was Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers just signed, like, you know, Devontae Adams. That would be someone where I think everyone would be like, okay, you got to do that. No one would have, I think, batted an eye if Najee Harris didn't go see Mitch Trubisky, but he still made the effort to do that. Again, to me, this just shows what kind of an individual he is, what kind of a teammate he is, on top of the work ethic, the out of this world in shapeness athleticism that he is bringing to the field, and the excitement that the Steelers legitimately have around him at being a player.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is that he's humble enough to realize he's not a perfect player either. And if you watch his tape from last year, there were cracks in some of that. You know, he had some vision lapses last year, and he's been very upfront about that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he's been very upfront. Okay, I got to improve my vision a little bit. And, you know, he's been saying, I am so gifted in my quickness that I look to bounce the ball outside, but I got to run in between the tackles and stuff like that. And I think that's also a testament, you know, because you can come in and look at the pure stats he put up and all the success he had his rookie year and say, man, I'm good. I'm a stud already. I'm one of the best running backs in the NFL. I'm already in the top 10 running backs in the NFL right now. I don't have much more to prove to anyone, but he has this mentality of like, I'm coming out here with something to prove. It's not just, you know, year two. It's not just smell the roses. Najee Harris is trying to get even better, both on the field, off the field, leadership wise, every facet I can think of. This is a guy that is trying to level up his game. And again, I think that speaks to the testament of the football player, the person, the leader, and overall the type of guy that the Pittsburgh Steelers have here in Najee Harris.
It certainly speaks to the kind of guy they draft. And this is why they drafted him in the first place, was because not just because of his talent as a running back right away, but also the kind of leader that he can shape out to be in the Steelers locker room moving forward. I want to talk about the guys that have to block for him to set things up. The offensive line, of course, because we've been getting to see Pat Meyer, the new offensive line coach at work. Nick, you and I watched them closely. And in fact, we put up a video on SteelersNow.com's YouTube page of them working some of their drills. Nick, we're going to talk about some of the new concepts we might be in, maybe not new concepts, but some of the concepts we might see implemented a little bit differently and a little bit more this year for the Pittsburgh Steelers when it comes to the run game and how that could help one Najee Harris. We'll talk about that in just a minute here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. But first, we got to talk to you guys about Built Bar, and we got a whole new flavor of Built Bar to talk to you guys about, because it's an exciting time. We've had the granolas, we've had a lot of different flavors come out. We've had the double chocolate brownies. it's been there's been some amazing Built Bars. Now we have caramel brownie. If you love chewy chocolate brownies, caramel brownies are going to be the best ones for you. They're so good. And what if I told you can have it, all this chewy chocolatey deliciousness, plus get 17 grams of protein? That's what happens when you get a caramel brownie Built Bar. You're in luck. The caramel brownie bars are available at built.com right now, but you got to act fast because they are fan favorites and they go fast off the website. Forget about dessert. These are better than dessert. Plus, the macros are unreal. You're only getting 130 calories. You're packing 17 grams of protein and only 4 grams of sugar. I would replace a regular brownie with Built Bars caramel brownie bar in a heartbeat. The best part, caramel brownie bars are covered in 100% real chocolate, like for real, real chocolate. With Built, you don't have to sacrifice taste for health because they give you both. And all Built Bars are made with collagen protein, which help your body absorb more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. There are a million reasons that you should try Built Bars, but for now, let's just say the caramel brownies will rock your world. With Built, tasty is the new healthy. Go to Built.com and get your box of caramel brownie bars right now. Again, that's Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15, LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off. Built Bars at Built.com. Back here on the Locked On Steelers podcast, I'm Chris Carter. He's Nick Faribault. And Nick, we got to talk about the offensive line. We're doing a whole offensive episode here on the Locked On Steelers podcast after we saw the first day of minicamp. Nick, you and I were noting when we were watching the Steelers practice, it looked like the early drills that they were working, at least that Pat Meyer, the new offensive line coach, was working, was more outside zone type of blocking schemes. Something the Steelers, I guess, either, you know, one, they haven't done enough of, and two, they haven't done enough well of over the past few years. And it's a different kind of scheme. It's a different kind of challenge. Can you explain, Nick, if Pat Meyer is able to get this young offensive line to get that concept and make it a bread and butter part of this team, what does that do for Najee Harris and this offense?
Yeah, well, first of all, outside zone is all about forcing that defense horizontal. So, you know, if we're just running, say, dive, you know, halfback dive, that's a vertical run right away. Right. But you were trying to get horizontal on outside zone. And so what that actually does is it puts more onus on, like, the linebackers to shed, to get over the top, to scrape over the top, to come down and make the play. Certainly puts more emphasis on the D-line to hold their edge and make sure that they can make a play. What it actually does is, in my opinion, and I think this is perfect for Najee, is it puts the emphasis on the running back to make things happen. It gives the running back a ton more freedom to make things happen. So the running back can essentially work the scheme to their advantage. You know, there are so many gaps that you create by outside zone that you can hit cutback, you can hit the front side. Najee can work in and out. He's got so much more freedom in there. And it's and you know, when it's blocked up perfectly, when you see a Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay, you know, outside zone scheme blocked, or even Stefanski with the Browns, you know, they run a ton of outside zone there with Nick Chubb. The best outside zones are, okay, take it, one cut, go. But I think Najee Harris is kind of unique as an outside zone runner in this way, in that he can be such a creative player with his lateral athleticism. I think it's perfect for Najee Harris in that regard. Now, he doesn't have the burst that you see maybe in a McVay or a Shanahan back. You know, he's not a Raheem Mostert that you might think of with Kyle Shanahan, or a Darrell Henderson or a Cam Akers, right? Completely different type of running back. He's not an Aaron Jones. He's not a Nick Chubb. But he is a really creative runner. And that outside zone stuff is stuff we actually saw him have some really great success with at Alabama. He was great.
Exactly. That's what I was hoping you were going with this.
Yeah, just great at that, because he's so gifted laterally that he can create so many different kind of over pursuit angles. He can cut on a dime this way and hit the backside opening. I mean, he is such a great lateral runner that I think this outside zone stuff, it's going to make Najee Harris just so much more dangerous. And that's why I was kind of wondering why it wasn't there last year. You know, it makes sense for it to be there for Najee Harris. Yes, he doesn't have the super speed, but he has the explosiveness and the lateral quickness to make this thing a very dangerous scheme if the Steelers can block it upright.
How much of this also gets helped by having younger quarterbacks who can move. Because when you're running those zone concepts, that's often also where the option comes into play, where you can, and it might not even be like a real option. Like the whole plan might be like, hey, Najee's getting this no matter what. But the kind of threat, like you get out of the pistol formation, we're like, hey, Mitch Trubisky might take this and run around this left corner. So you better pay, you better be disciplined. You better stay in your spot. But really the whole point is to get Najee Harris into a spot where he gets three holes to choose from and say, I'm going for that one because I like the way that that's going. How much of that is changed with this year, could change with this year's offense?
Well, a lot of it. And I think that the thing about having a mobile quarterback with outside zone, that is fun, is that you get a lot of openings in your play action game. And this is something foreign. I know play action, Pittsburgh. Here's another foreign concept. The middle of the field. Yeah, right. The middle of the field off this action is exactly what you look for. Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, even Mason Rudolph. I think Mason Rudolph has enough functional athleticism to do these rollouts. First of all, you get the natural rollout. So you get, you know, the flat throws to whoever's coming off that action. You can disguise your runs a lot better. It's very easy to make this look the same. This is why it's so popular, right? It's so easy to make things look the same. It also takes the onus off the quarterback a little bit because you are putting so much pressure on the linebackers to, hey, we're going to have to read this correctly. You're going to have to read the tight end. You're going to have to key in on everything correctly. It leaves a lot of openings. And I think the middle of the field is going to be very plentiful for Pittsburgh this year. And this is where we kind of get into everything is the over routes, the digs, all this stuff that we see in terms of the middle of the field concepts, they're all going to be there. They're going to get, you know, flood concepts to one side. You're going to get levels concepts. You're going to get all this different types of stuff. And you're going to get those play action plays as well, where you get shot plays, right? You're going to get, you know, the over under, the high low stuff. I think this is going to be some new stuff to Pittsburgh. And we've heard Matt Canada say, man, they're going to have to learn new stuff this year. It's different, you know, being Big Ben and Matt Canada's offenses didn't mesh super well. I think we saw that at times last year. I think that, you know, they're different philosophy. It was really a compromise offense last year. I think this is going to be full on Matt Canada's offense. And so that's what you can get with outside zone stuff. And to have someone, in my opinion, I want to highlight Kenny Pickett on this specifically. When you have someone like Kenny Pickett who can throw off of so many different platforms as well as he does, and specifically, you know, he can have someone bearing down on him on a free rusher and he can still make that throw. And that's something that I think drew them to Kenny Pickett is he can make throws off of different platforms at ease. So I think that, you know, that's another big option. And of course, the other option is, well, everything's covered. They could just take off. So there's so many different options with that. And the outside zone stuff, it opens up a different can of worms we just have not seen.
It's part of what I think everyone's been alluding to when you talk to the Steelers, when someone says like a Mason Rudolph, like a, you know, a Najee Harris, when they're talking about how the offense could look different this year. Yes, there's the same offensive coordinator, but they weren't able to do the same things last year. They're going to be able to do this year. And they're not going to open up all the doors. They're not going to expose everything for us right now, nor will they do it even in preseason. But you're going to see this offense look and operate in a different manner. And I think that is what's going to make a difference here. And a lot of it could stem off of how well this offensive line gels together, pulls off the outside zone, forces defenses to think. And you're right. There's so many times. Heck, the Ravens used to run a very good outside zone that used to just give the Steelers fits. And it forces your linebackers to think. It forces your defensive linemen to be disciplined. And every time you're forcing a defensive player to think, you're giving yourself that much more time to set the tone, hit the gap, and get going, build your momentum, and then they have to react to you. And that's the advantage that you want on offense. I think this is going to be a huge factor for the Steelers moving forward. Nick, we are over our time. I got to get us out of here. But I thank you so much for joining me here on the Locked On Steelers podcast. Let people know they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
Yeah, folks, you can follow me right there, Faribault FB. If you want to put my pick content, Nick_Faribault, make sure to listen to Locked On Pit. We're on YouTube. We're on Apple. We're on Amazon. We're on Odyssey. We're on all those different things. Make sure to check into Locked On Pit. If you are a Pit fan, we're talking there every day about everything Pit. Recruiting season right now, so we're going right there. Make sure to read the stuff that I write as well on Steelers Now. As always, thanks for having me on, Chris.
Thanks, Nick. It's always great to talk to you. Glad we finally got you on Locked On Steelers. We will be having you back because you are an awesome guest. You know your football, sir. So we'll be having you back for sure. That's Nick Faribault, everyone. So do check out his work on Locked On Pitt. You can listen to and watch that show just like you do with the Locked On Steelers podcast. If you're a Pitt fan and you love both, check us out: Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, YouTube. Also, when you're on YouTube and you're watching this video, just like you're watching Nick's videos, hit the like button on the video to let us know you enjoyed it. Subscribe to our YouTube channels to stay up with all of our episodes that are released all the time. And if you want to help us out, go on Apple Podcasts, rate us 5 stars, leave positive review comments or positive comments with those 5-star reviews, and you get a special shout out at the end of the show. Thanks again for joining me, Nick. Thanks again for y'all checking us out. I'm Chris Carter. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. Find me here in the Locked On Steelers podcast as well as SteelersNow.com. We'll be back in your ears and on your screens tomorrow. Josh Taylor back on the show for a Thursday edition of the Locked On Steelers podcast as we get you recap of the second day of minicamp. We'll see you then.